Tonight I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20. There's a statement here that is a curious one. Paul says concerning his imprisonment and the various things he has gone through, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now that phrase, "an ambassador in bonds," literally an ambassador in a chain, is a curious one. Ambassadors have diplomatic immunity. When ambassadors come to a country, they can speak the will of their home government and can negotiate for that. And there's a courtesy extended to them, even where the situation may be diplomatically tense. The ambassador traditionally doesn't worry about parking tickets and other things because he's immune from all this. They look out for him and are very considerate. They expect the same for their own envoys as well. And here is Paul, an ambassador with a chain. Now, it's hard for anyone to speak to others about the Lord. It is hard to witness. Why? There's a prejudice. Everybody is supposed to have their own religion. You're not supposed to butt in. Now, we have freedom of religion in this country, and that's great. We do. But in the meantime, we should have freedom to testify as well. And Paul is here speaking about what he's been doing all his life since he met the Lord Jesus. He's been an ambassador for the Lord Jesus. He has spoken for the Lord. He has preached the Lord. He has gone everywhere carrying the gospel message. And now he is in prison, an ambassador with a chain. Now that's interesting, that one of the greatest evangels that the Lord Jesus ever had is here apparently sidelined and imprisoned for the faith. That didn't happen accidentally. Paul gave his testimony, and now was time for him to be imprisoned. And there were things he had to do while he was in prison. Writing Ephesians is one of those things, along with the rest of the so-called prison epistles. And he did not have any bitterness in his soul because his tremendous evangelistic ministry was now put on ice, so to speak. He instead sought to serve the Lord where he was. And so there in the prison, he was an ambassador for Christ. And I'm sure the people he was imprisoned with heard the gospel. He saw to it that everybody did, including the jailers, the soldiers who were guards. He talked to everybody. And obviously, with eternal results. God is not slack in his power to uphold the testimony of his servants. And so there were many who were blessed through that imprisonment of the apostle. But it's a strange picture to think of an ambassador with a chain. That just doesn't happen in diplomatic circles in the world. It did happen here. And God overruled all that to make further witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. In verse 24, the same chapter, Paul ends this great epistle to the Ephesians with a prayer. "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Yes, he prayed that God's grace would be with every last one who knew the Lord Jesus as Savior. And that means he prayed for us. That's interesting. Oh, he didn't have us particularly in mind, but his prayer certainly includes us. That all who read this epistle might be touched by his testimony for the Lord Jesus and might discover for themselves the greatness of our Savior that Paul was upholding wherever he went and in all the messages that he preached. So, we too are ambassadors for Christ. We're in this world not on an extended vacation. We're certainly not here just to make money, as some people pervert their lives. We are not here just to have a good time. Life in this world is not always a good time. But we are here because the Lord has people in this world that aren't His yet. And we are His messengers, His ambassadors to others. And as we live here, our lives are a testimony to all who see us. Our words should be a testimony to them as well. We are ambassadors. We're representing a different king than the political rulers of this world. And oh, we have citizenship in a country, that's right. We thank God for freedom of religion. But we have a great king, a king of kings, whose reign shall never end. And his is the testimony that we are here for. We are not here to make Americans out of everybody we meet. We are here to make Christians out of everybody we meet. Whether by example, or by spoken word, or by tract, or whatever else, we're in this world to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're His ambassadors. Now, friends, sometimes we forget that. We get distracted. We start living for short-term goals. That's always a mistake. We must have a long vision, a vision that sees all the way home, where the Lord Jesus is waiting for us, waiting to say, "Well done." And that presupposes that we have done something. We are here to speak for the Lord. We are here to live for the Lord. We're ambassadors negotiating with others for the benefit of our Lord and His people. And we must never forget that. Too often, we get our gaze fixed on short-term goals that will soon disappear or change, and we will have other goals. But this one should never change. We are here as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever He puts us, however our pathway may lead, we are here to tell others about the Lord Jesus and live for Him and have a testimony that all can recognize as different. We're not just one more person in the world. We belong to a great King, and He is the most important person we know. Our lives should count for Him. That testimony they need to see in every believer. Now, in verse 21, He says, "That ye may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I've sent to you for the same purpose, that he might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." So here is Paul's burden for the Ephesians. He lived among them. He served among them. He suffered among them. They all knew him. And so he sends this faithful minister, Tychicus, who obviously was someone that Paul counted on. He was an individual that he could trust implicitly to bear the message and to continue the ministry that Paul himself was doing. Now, it's interesting that in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, you need not turn there, Paul says, "As we were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts." Now, that's significant because it reveals his faithfulness as an ambassador. He was here to accomplish God's purpose, to witness to others, to see to it that they heard that blessed word of the Lord. And he was there not just to have a good time, have a vacation. His ministry in Acts is no vacation. It was a tremendous labor of love for the Lord Jesus. These epistles that we've been looking at for such a time are all examples of his deep devotion to the Lord Jesus and his determination that others would know the greatness of his Lord and perceive the graciousness of his loving kindness. And Paul is setting that forth in these epistles. So he lived with a purpose, a good example for us all. We too should have a clear purpose in our lives of honoring the Lord, filling our minds and hearts with His precious word, speaking to others about the Lord, witnessing and living for the Lord in this wicked world. There's a prejudice against all that. And that's why we're here, because we are here to reach others for the great King. We too are ambassadors, but we're free. No one has locked us up. We're able to reach others that Paul couldn't reach because he was limited. There are no such limitations on us, so it should make us even more bold to be good ambassadors for Christ. We are free to do that, and in a free country as well, a marvelous example of God's graciousness to His people. Let's make the most of that, because being an ambassador is a very important post. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul says, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." He believed in the revelation that Christ gave him, the word of the Lord, and he set it forth in these marvelous epistles, one after the other. He was determined that the message get out, but he believed his own message. He lived for the Lord Jesus. He spoke for the Lord Jesus, and he endured suffering for the Lord Jesus. There was no question that he regarded it as a very marvelous opportunity. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he says, "As we were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." He spoke boldly because it was a sacred trust, something that we too should take as a sacred trust. Now, he also commented in 2 Corinthians 6:3 that his purpose was to give no offense in anything. He was instead a minister of the gospel in patience and much afflictions. And so he was here not to throw his weight around and push his way through, but to accomplish God's purpose, to walk the pathway, reach the people, witness for Christ, write these epistles that are still reaping a harvest of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an important thing for all of us to remember. Where God has put us, we too must be an ambassador for Christ. We are not in bonds. We are free. But Paul was an ambassador even in bonds, with all his difficulties, a good example for us all. Now, it's interesting to me, if we go back to the writings of David. David in Psalm 35:25 prayed, "Let them not say, we have swallowed him up." Now here is David, speaking from a position of persecution and difficulty. He had many enemies who were prepared to swallow him up. But he is praying to the Lord here, and praying that God shall vindicate him. Well, after all these centuries, David certainly is vindicated. We all honor him as a great, sweet psalmist of Israel, as well as a great king in the history of Israel, and as a progenitor of the human nature of the Lord Jesus. He was a great man indeed. But he was thinking of the limitations that he had to work under and still accomplish God's will. All of us have limitations. We are all operating under limitations. It's where God has put us. And if we could have it our own way and do our own thing, we could accomplish marvelous things out there. No, we couldn't accomplish anything, because if we did it for ourselves, it would all fail. We wind up where God has put us. And in that place, His blessing rests upon those who are faithful. And we must all recognize that. We shouldn't be thinking, "Oh, if I only could." No, forget about that. You can't. That door is not open for you. What's open for you is exactly where He has put you. The doors that you see before you. That's what He intends you to go through. You need His grace. You need His empowerment. You need His wisdom. Yes. But the door is there. The pathway is there. And you can go forward for Him. Wherever He leads, you need to follow. He will accomplish His work through that. He will bless the testimony there. Don't yearn for fields far away. Don't yearn for things that the door is closed behind. No, you need to walk the pathway that he has put before you, keeping strictly according to his pathway and seeking to accomplish his will exactly where he has put you. That is where the blessing lies, because he rewards those who are faithful to his calling. And part of that calling is exactly where he has put you. Don't long for a different place. Long for the open door on the path that he has put you. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Now that's interesting, a commission that he gives to his disciples. But those words are written for us. We need to hear that. What the Lord speaks to us in our heart of hearts, what he speaks to us as we search the scriptures for ourselves, for strength and help and guidance, the message that comes is not by chance. It is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to relay that message to others. We need to share the truth of Scripture with others. As he phrased it, "Preach ye upon the housetops." Now, to us, that sounds very strange. We're thinking of a peaked roof where it is easy to fall off. And that is not the image in Scripture at all. The houses in Palestine and most everywhere else at that time were flat roofs. You're talking about a man's house where the roof would only be about 8 feet above the ground, and it would be a roof that you could live on. And there would be grain up there stored and other things. There'd probably be a part of a room up there that they could live in. And someone would sit on the roof, not 6 feet away from the people passing by on the street. And he could lean over the small parapet there and talk to them as they went by. That's the image that is here. We have a very different image if we're thinking of hanging from a slanting roof trying to speak to others. That's not the picture at all. It was a very logical picture in that time. A person could sit up there in the cool of the evening and there'd be passers-by. Why not speak to them about something serious? Why not? Well, that is the image that he gives us. But we don't have the same kind of ceiling, roof, and such that they had, but we have our opportunities too. And that's the picture. Who's walking by your door? Who is the one that the Lord has brought to you today? He's the one that you need to speak to. He's the one who is your opportunity for the day. And we must learn to be very perceptive about that. When someone shows up that you don't expect, he's not the person you brush off or hurry past. He's there for a certain purpose, perhaps a purpose that you can fulfill. And we must always keep that in mind, because life is not by chance for the believer. The believer walks a pathway marked out for him by the Lord of the universe. And he brings to our doorstep, he brings into our lives people who need to know about him. And there are our opportunities. They are numerous. And we can all think back in our lives of opportunities that we really missed. We had a chance to talk to that person and we let it slip through our fingers. It was a good opportunity and we didn't seize it. That's sad. Friends, we need to vow in our hearts that we will be more perceptive, that we will watch for the people that the Lord brings into our pathway, that we will be ready for them, able to speak up for the Lord and tell them something about the Lord Jesus, for we are ambassadors for him. And we must never forget that. It's an opportunity that we have only for a little while in this world. The day will come when we move on. And there we will be with a vast company, none of whom need the gospel. They've all heard it. They're all glorified. They're the results of the powerful grace of Christ. And we shall rejoice with them for all the ages to come. But for a little while, we have this opportunity of being ambassadors for the Lord among those who don't even know that they need an ambassador. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, the Lord says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And in verse 35, he goes on to say, a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, evil things. So here is, plainly, an obligation that he lays upon all his followers. We have received good things into our heart from the Lord Jesus. We have his word hidden in our hearts. We need to share that now with others. We need to speak out of that abundance of blessing that he has brought to us and help others to see the immense, infinite blessing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and share the truth of God's word with others. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul asks, pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Here's an apostle who asks for prayer. He was conscious of his limitations, conscious of his need of Christ's power and grace resting upon him. And we must be conscious of that ourselves, not just praying for ourselves, but praying for others who may reach out and help others by being ambassadors for Christ. We thank God that we have here a church that prays for its pastors, prays for the workers that are here in this church. But every person who is in this church needs prayer. Every last one can be an ambassador in the place where Christ has put them. Every last one can be the means of salvation for someone. We must all be on a watch for people that we may impact with the gospel message for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And all of us need prayer. So we must be continually praying for one another, that we may have the boldness that we need to speak others to others with that gospel message, that they too may learn how great a Savior that we have. In 1 Timothy 2:7, Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. He was never one to prevaricate, to wander around in his speech. He was direct, straightforward. He lived for Christ. He spoke for Christ. He was an ambassador for Christ. He was not ashamed of the gospel. That is a tremendous testimony to us all. We, too, need to have a clear purpose in life. We are not here to make money. We're not here to have a good time. We are here to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And that's a spiritual purpose. And we can rejoice that he has honored us by giving us such a solemn privilege. And we need to think of how we too can be ambassadors for Christ. We have not the power that the Apostle Paul had, but every one of us can quote Scripture to someone else or give someone else a tract that has the Scripture in it. We can be ambassadors for Christ regardless of how well we can speak. That's immaterial. The willing heart is what's important, and the grace of the Lord Jesus, energizing and equipping the believer to be a messenger for him. James, in chapter 2, verse 12, says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Yes, we are free in Christ, and we walk in liberty, but there are responsibilities for a free walk. We are here not just meandering through the world. We are here to be ambassadors for our great King. We are here to speak for him, to live for him, to remind others that there are things vastly more important than the worldly objects that most people worship. We have a great God and a great Savior, and they need to know that from us. In 1 Thessalonians 2:2, Paul says to the Thessalonians, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Oh, yes, at Philippi, that's Acts 16. You recall, Paul was beaten, cast into prison. That was hard to go through. But God was with him. And Paul and Silas at midnight could sing hymns of praise to God in the midst of persecution, aching wounds. Didn't make any difference. God was honored in their lives. Yes, he answered with an earthquake. It didn't just collapse the building. That would have killed the apostles. No, instead the door sprung open. And you know the rest. A jailer was saved through that. His whole family heard the gospel and was saved. All by the power of God. So the pathway through a prison was not in vain. It was there because God had people there who needed the gospel and who were saved because Paul was there. We must all remember these biblical examples. Our pathway may take strange turns. We may be puzzled by circumstances. Remember, God is never puzzled. Our pathway is a matter of his appointment. Wherever he leads us, we are his ambassador. The people we encounter are objects of our attention because they may be lost sheep that the Lord wishes us to reach. We're ambassadors to everybody we know. We live for Christ in this wicked world. We're not here on a vacation. We're here on business. The great King has work for us to do. Are you doing it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment is a good time for dedication to the great King. He does have work for all of us to do. There are people we ought to be praying for, witnessing to. We need to accomplish the will of the great King. O Lord, bless thy people and give us courage and wisdom. Help us to live for thee in this wicked world. Help us to be good ambassadors for thee. Give us the right words to witness with. Give us the scripture verses that we need. Equip us, Lord, by thy grace, that we may speak for thee. And grant that souls may be in heaven because of this service tonight. Consecrate our lives to thee, Lord, that we may be ambassadors, even as thy servant Paul was. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.